Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good, and it's also a little bit crazy, we need to admit. And that's what happened this morning on Morning Joe. All in response, Jim, to a column written by Kathleen Parker, who for some reason people consider to be a conservative. But anyway, she centered her column around the value of electing a woman president. And obviously, the speculation centers around Hillary Clinton, but in general, why that would be a good thing. So this launched this whole roundtable discussion with Mika Brzezinski and Barnicle, and Donnie Deutsch was there, Alex Wagner. Most of this will be Donnie Deutsch and Alex Wagner. Deutsch is the only one who tried to figure out exactly why having a female president would be any better inherently.
In this idealistic utopian place of women getting together and making the world a better place, which I agree with, the problem is what we've learned throughout history is unanswered aggression breeds more aggression. So we are going to now take on this more maternal.
That's
not
with,
happening with Hillary Clinton.
Not, yeah, I,
that is
I would
not
be careful
happening
with this
her.
Idea that she's going to sort of be have a mammalian foreign policy.
But then there's no point to the story there. But then there's no point. Then what's if you're saying she's as tough and she's as aggressive and she, what's the difference? We're either assigning these gender values to people which would make the world a better place, or we're not.
Deutsch doing his best to try to figure out why a woman in the White House is inherently better than a man in the Oval Office. But, Jim, I think the big takeaway there is under no circumstances can we have mammals developing foreign policy.
My opening comment was going to be, Greg, what is a mammalian foreign policy? And I don't want to be off color, but I almost wonder, was she thinking like mammarian
foreign policy?
Look, you can have good female leaders. You can have bad female leaders. People on the right, obviously, are big fans of Margaret Thatcher. You have Golda Meir. I don't think anybody would say was a weak leader. The thing is that there's nothing inherent to either gender that makes them lead in a particular way. Otherwise, Margaret Thatcher would be weak and maternal and kind and gentle and cuddly and all that. And Chamberlain would have been, a tough guy. It's kind of silly to believe that there's this broad gender identity that you can assign to any leader, and you'll end up getting a leader that has those traits. So I kind of, salute Donnie Deutsch for just by playing, quote unquote, the dumb guy. And I'm sure there's some listeners out there saying, are you sure he's just playing that role? Puts everyone kind of on the spot to explain, well, what is it about Clinton as a woman leader that will make her a uniquely good leader? And they're left struggling because they keep insisting, well, it's not that she's kinder and gentler and more conciliatory and consensus driven, because she can be every bit as tough as the strong male leaders that I guess the Americans are used to. So in the end, they can't really come up with anything. And it just kind of turns into this fumbling, stumbling, well, Hillary Clinton is good and women are good. And if you don't like any of that, you must be sexist. it quickly devolves down into, which I think kind of indicates that supporters of Hillary Clinton want it both ways. They want to argue that there's something uniquely special and wonderful about having a woman leader that Hillary Clinton gets just by not having a Y chromosome, but she has some sort of special trait that will make her a good leader, but that also simultaneously not being a man will simultaneously give her no weaknesses. There won't be any offsetting problems there. And Donnie Deutsch kind of observes that there isn't like there's one super gender and one Danny DeVito in Twins, the leftover refuse, gender, although I guess there are some, really diehard feminists who might see the world that way. And so they kind of are left just kind of babbling and kind of left struggling, insisting that it's got to be a good thing, even though nobody can really articulate what about Hillary Clinton's gender would make her a better leader than any of the other options or really any other – you put Hillary Clinton versus Sarah Palin, by the way. And I'm sure all of these other people will be saying that Hillary Clinton, that Sarah Palin couldn't be president because she's crazy and unhinged and all these other terrible traits that they attribute to women. So short version is to a largely Democratic roundtable, Democratic women good, Republican women bad. And, ultimately, it's not really about gender with these folks. It's about party ID.
Well, sure. And just as a follow up, you mentioned in one of your first jolts back from the cruise that Alan West had mentioned that the Democrats are bound and determined to elect the first woman president in 2016. And if all goes well for them, the first Hispanic president, Julian Castro, in 2024. So do you think the push for Hillary is more about that or about the fact that Democrats are feeling a little bit guilty about kicking her to the curb for Obama in 08?
I think the 2008 let's make history theme worked so well for Obama then that they're going to go back to this well as often as they can. You know, that old saying in football, if a play, you know, if a play works, keep calling it until the other team's defense figures out how to stop it. Also, I think if it was Hank Clinton, you know, if you took the exact same person with the exact same record and decisions on her record, Hillary Clinton, I think, was a largely overrated Secretary of State. She's got Benghazi hanging over her. She did a lot of running around the globe and all that stuff. But I don't think anybody's going to refer to her as one of the all time classic and great statesmen or stateswoman, I suppose, secretaries of state. Particularly as you look at the state of the world today, and the fact that most of the Middle East is on fire, and human rights abuses are as bad as ever, and anti-American views are as strong as ever. As a senator, she did a pretty good job of representing New York. But ultimately, look, she got this because of who she was as a Clinton, piggybacking on her husband's fame and goodwill and record as president. And so if Hillary Clinton can't run on gender, there's not going to be that much there. So I think that's kind of what they've decided, is it's much easier to talk gender than to talk the actual accomplishments of actual candidates running for presidency.
Sterling, Democratic field shaping up here. If Biden runs and Martin O'Malley and some of these people, it's about as appealing as the New York City mayor's race. But on to Martini number two now, and you mentioned the Middle East being on fire, and that's where we spend a couple minutes here. Egypt, the pro Mohamed Morsi, Muslim Brotherhood folks, never got out of the streets after the military removed him from power. Over a month ago now, the military announced a few days ago they were going to start moving these people out. Yesterday they announced a delay. Today they're moving them out. It was a pretty short delay, apparently. Reports at about the time we record this, nearly 100 people dead, supposedly close to 900 injured. And Jim, you basically have the folks saying that you've got the autocrats in the form of the military, and on the other side you've got the Muslim Brotherhood people can't face the fact that they've lost their grip on power, and they're just going to make things as destructive as possible. So once again, in Egypt, not really a good solution looking to be anywhere near.
As soon as there was the military coup that, according to U.S. policy, is totally not a coup because we don't have to cut off our military aid and our foreign aid to the Egyptian government. As soon as they took over, and you saw these pro-Morsi counter-protests in the streets of Egypt, you knew there was going to be a conflict. The only question was, how bad was it going to be? And today we see the answer is really, really bad. Do not put Egypt in your search term on Twitter, because you will find unbelievably horrific bloody photos. I would kind of describe as somewhat reminiscent of the Boston Marathon bombing photos. I mean, there is blood in the streets, body parts, all kinds of horrible stuff. The death toll is looking pretty bad. Looks like it's hitting three figures and going to get worse. It's very easy to get cynical about the Middle East because, how do Muslim extremists like to protest things, Greg?
By shouting a lot and killing people.
In particular, going after the Christians. Churches are apparently burning from one end of Egypt to another. There's a nighttime curfew in place. Religious sites being desecrated. It's one bad thing after another. And while we recognize that the U.S. does not have great leverage over Egypt, we don't have great ability to influence what's going on on the ground, the whole decision to push out Mubarak is looking a little bit worse and a little bit worse with each passing month, because, look, for all of his flaws, and Mubarak was an autocrat, no two ways about it, he was stability. In other words, Egypt was basically running, was going to be run tomorrow the same way it had been run yesterday. And now we have a circumstance in which nobody really knows what's going to happen in Egypt, that basically we have this very vocal, very angry pro-Morsi demonstration that believes that they're having elections stolen from them and that they're willing to fight over it. And of course, the Egyptian military, which now has none of the traditional constraints upon it of smacking down these protesters and in a very bloody, brutal way. And you're looking, what is the U.S. doing in response to this? Greg, really great news. The president and Michelle Obama had date night last night. So we have our eye on the ball. Don't worry. We got this, America. We got this world. The 3 a.m. phone calls continue to go straight to voicemail. Our voicemail box is full.
Fear not, Jim. John Kerry's on the case. It'll all turn out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just as soon as he's figured out, he'll get to all that stuff as soon as he's figured out Israeli-Palestinian peace. Piece of cake.
All right. On to Martini number three now. And if you thought date night might be a little bit frivolous, but, he's on vacation. Date night's a good thing. It's good for the marriage. Next week, the president has something on his schedule that Jim and I simply can't figure out why it's on his schedule. The president is honoring 41 years since the perfect NFL season of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. They went 14-0 regular season, 3 playoff wins, 17-0. Nobody's ever repeated that. The Patriots came close a couple years ago, lost in the Super Bowl. Jim, I guess Mercury Morris hasn't done enough to promote the fact that the Dolphins are the only undefeated team in the history of the NFL. I'm not sure what this is all about. Do you?
No, and that's why I'm kind of marveling that the president has, you know, it's you know, traditional for the president to have the professional sports leagues champions at the White House, the college, you know, sports champions at the White, you know, and some people could argue that this is a silly use of the president's time, but you know what? He's president of the United States. Most of the time you can kind of let this stuff slide. What's in it, this is not, you know, it's not even an anniversary year. If he had done this last year, we'd say, oh, okay, you know, it's a 40-year anniversary, but most importantly, he's trolling for votes in South Florida. That's basically what he's trying to do. We're just kind of left scratching our head and you know, trying to figure out whether the president's allegedly a Bears fan. He's not really a Dolphins fan. My guess is the 72 Dolphins just had nothing going on that day. And, hey, want to come over? Sure, we'll honor you. You know, like, I guess it's a great accomplishment in the world of sports. That's not just being a bitter Jets fan. I just don't understand, like, what the trigger is. There's some sort of broader theme. I mean, you know, most of these guys are going to be coming in on walkers and wheelchairs and stuff. This is a long while ago. So it just kind of looks like, you know, he's playing sports fan in chief. This is how he's doing upon returning from a vacation. As I wrote on Campaign Spot, if we weren't enjoying such fantastic peace and prosperity right now, people might really think the president was, you know, dawdling and fiddling with, you know, fairly frivolous topics when there are serious issues that still need to get resolved.
You know, as a Bears fan, I'm slightly offended by this, in addition to bewildered by the fact that it's happening at all. While he celebrates their perfect season, he's apparently forgetting or never knew the fact that the Dolphins ruined the Bears' perfect season in 1985. So if he doesn't hold at least a mini grudge over that, you have to suspect his loyalty to the Bears, I think.
Didn't he have the 85 Bears, though?
I think he did, yeah.
At the White House. Like, so first of all, maybe it's some sort of deal between the White House and NFL Films. If, you know, we just kind of, you know, they don't have John Facenda, the voice of God, narrating, you know. But you kind of figure at some point he just wants to bring in, you know, it's NFL Old Timers Day. He just wants to meet all of his, you know, the old favorites. Bizarre, you know, this is definitely a crazy martini, and that I guess he just wanted to meet him. That's the only thing I can come up with here. You'd figure that could happen in, you know, retirement.
Maybe the 66 Packers, 74, 75 Steelers,
the 69
like that.
Jets. Come on. These guys were counterculture. You figure the left would have loved those guys. So.
Right. Have fun, Bob Greasy and Larry Zonka and Don Shula and the whole gang. Congratulations again, I guess. Jim, have a great day.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.